Welcome to being an ever-changing faith community. If you hadn't noticed, there's an elephant in the sanctuary, so I'm going to welcome it now. That elephant came to many of your homes in the form of a letter this week from yours truly, your minister. And in that letter, I let members and friends know that I do plan to retire from parish ministry effective in June 2013. That's next year, folks, 2013. Since communications are always imperfect and letters get addressed and mailed and cross and arrive and don't arrive, I just wanted to share that with you today. If you didn't receive that letter, I do have copies in a folder at the rear where you picked up your order of worship today, and Jerry has them, and you can get a copy when you leave. I'm just going to read a few excerpts from what I wrote in that letter. I wrote, "I could not have asked for or imagined a more wonderful and rewarding congregation to have served. There is a reason I call UUCSC a beloved community, because that is what you are. I believe we have accomplished much together and that UUCSC's potential is wide and deep. And as I move forward, I will be taking time to consider new directions in my professional and spiritual life. I also look forward to spending lots more time with my many children and grandchildren, all of whom are growing very rapidly. This congregation is my first and only settled ministry. While some saw a bingo hall, I saw a sanctuary housing a vibrant and soulful, beloved community. I was right. You are UUCSC. That will not change, but rather you will grow and thrive in new and unexpected ways. I am so grateful. I do believe in you, and I know you believe in yourselves. So change is coming, not too soon. We've got time. And with change is a time of growth and discomfort. We all get those knots in our stomachs. My sister likes to drive in a new road every day. I take the same path, you know. I don't try new roads that well. So I understand the discomfort with change. But it's what we do here. It's the process that we learn here. We face change within the context of this community on a spiritual basis, as a growth opportunity, rather than as a frightening experience that we want to avoid. And we are not alone. We are community. So I want to share a reading with you. It's adapted by the work of Susan York, a colleague of mine. It's called Season of Mud. This is the season of mud. The season of mud begins with thunder and announces change. It is the season of transition. Transitions are times when the thick skin of habit that protected us surrenders to the possibilities of growth and renewal. The inner thawing renders us sensitive and vulnerable to the unpredictable until we emerge comfortably into new ways of being. In the midst of the mud and the muddle of all transitions, the seeds of promise stir quietly beneath the surface like spring bulbs drinking in the snow. My good friends, may our seeds of promise stir. I saw your seeds of promise in the bingo hall. It couldn't be missed. They are here still. May they blossom well. May we work together to make that so. Blessed be, and welcome. This keeps happening to me. We sing a hymn and there goes my sermon. I have to talk about the hymn. I kind of knew this earlier though. Since what we choose, choice, freedom of choice, intentional choice, using our minds and our hearts and our spirits together to make a choice for our lives, since what we choose is what we are, whoa. Watch out with those choices, it's serious. What we choose is what we are. And what we love, we yet shall be. So what we focus our hearts and our minds and our spirits on, what passion we have in our hearts, what we love, that defines us. That is what we yet shall be. The goal may ever shine afar. The will to win it makes us free. Free, empowered by our passion, our intention, our heart, our spirits. This is good. It's very good. It's empowering, and I am always excited by anything that is empowering, because in this life, in this world, we are so often feeling at the whim or at the will of the powers that be, of someone else's choices. But the good news is, and we sang it in the hymn, so it must be true, what you choose is what you are. And what we love, we yet shall be. So I'm pretty excited by that. We create our experience by choice and by love. What we place our heart upon. I've told you before that the word faith can be interpreted in Pali language as what I place my heart upon. What I place my heart upon, that is what we become. That is what inspires us. Some have said, if you want to know what you have faith in, it's what you think about most. That's where your heart lies. Nice. So today's service is going to focus some on a radio show I listen to, hosted by Krista Tippett. It's on American Public Media, and the show is called On Being. It's quite wonderful. It was hosted by Krista Tippett, and a main character in the show was the Dalai Lama, so I'm going to speak mostly about what he had to share. But I'll open with a reading. This is taken from online, modern ministry here, at medianewswire.com. The headline is, "The Dalai Lama offers words of wisdom about happiness." April 23rd, 2008. Nearly 5,000 people streamed into Hamilton across the Colgate campus and into Sanford Fieldhouse to hear His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama speak about happiness, that elusive quality that all human beings want yet find so hard to achieve. Before beginning, he removed his shoes and arranged them slowly, and arranged himself slowly in a cross-legged position in the oversized crimson leather chair that was made for the occasion. Despite the audience's palpable eagerness for work. They weren't ignorant. They were there to hear the Dalai Lama. They knew what they were there for. They're enlightened, right? Despite the audience's palpable eagerness for words of wisdom, he quipped that the chair was so comfortable he'd like to, and I quote, sit without talk. Sit without talk. But talk he did in an engaging and straightforward way about how inner peace, compassion, and truth are necessary for happiness. He implored his audience to please think more about these inner values, saying we pay too much concern to material things. We need to think seriously about the causes of happiness, the Dalai Lama said. Good result, happy result, entirely depends on good action, constructive action, not on outer circumstances. So the Dalai Lama, who has lived in exile from Tibet since 1959, emphasizes that all people possess the ability to achieve happiness and a meaningful life, but the key is in realizing that the goal is self-knowledge. The goal is self-knowledge. I repeat, before beginning his talk, he removed his shoes and arranged himself slowly in a cross-legged position where he'd like to sit without talk. The Dalai Lama radiates happiness. He knows how to cultivate his inner resources. He's suggesting that that is what we might try in order to cultivate happiness. Now, is happiness selfish? I've been in this discussion many times. And there are many points of view on this. You know, I gotta say, my experience in life is that my degree of happiness, my degree of joy, which I do try and cultivate with practice, is probably the biggest gift that I offer to the world. There may be a lot of good works I do, and I try and do some now and then. But mostly, I believe that it's a presence and a joyful heart that radiates from one person to another and then ripples out and touches the world. And so I would say happiness is a very important quality and an unselfish quality to cultivate, to keep our minds and our hearts and intentions and focuses all on love and happiness and creating that in the world. Now, that doesn't mean there isn't suffering. We're going to get into that. We're not talking about denial. We're talking about where you place your focus. The Dalai Lama talks about happiness in the midst of turmoil. Don't forget, he's in exile. His people are in exile, and he chooses happiness. Can we take off our shoes slowly and intentionally, develop practices that cultivate a loving heart of kindness and compassion, and prepare our hearts to experience and to share happiness and love? May we reap the seeds of resilience. Resilience and light, my friends, that is what you are. I get the bird's eye view here. I get to see you. It's not just you. although this is a special place. Human beings, the universe, all creatures great and small, all of us are light and love. And it's important for us to focus on that. Even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of struggle, I want to read to you a piece called Thistles by Louise Erdrich. This writing captures so brilliantly the resilience of love, the resilience of our spirits, even in the midst of difficulty. Thistles. Under ledge, under tar, under fill, under curved blue stone of doorsteps, under the aggregate of lakebed rock, under loss, under hard words, under steamrollers, under your heart. It doesn't matter. They can live forever, the seeds of thistles. Push from nowhere, they push out, forming a rose of spikes that spreads all summer until it stands in a glory of needles, blossoms blazing, purple clubs and fists abound. Nothing stops the growth of those purple clubs and fists blazing in the sun. And so it is with happiness if we choose to cultivate it intentionally with practice and with focus and with loving kindness. That's our task. In this show with the Dalai Lama was Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks from Great Britain. He said, and I quote, "The definition of a Jew, as it says in Genesis 34, is one who struggles, wrestles with God and with humanity and prevails." And Jacob says something very profound to the angel. He says, "I will not let you go until you bless me." And that, I feel, is about suffering. When something bad happens, I will not let go of that bad thing until I have discovered the blessing, the thistle, that lies within. This is empowering. This is very empowering. Even in the face of difficulty, even in the face of uncertainty and change, we can look at what appeared as a problem and transform it in our hearts and in our mind's eye to see it as a challenge. Ooh, that feels better. Not such a problem, it's a challenge. Then we can look at challenge and say, "This is opportunity. This is opportunity for me to see beyond my small vision, to learn, to grow, and to change." And then, from opportunity, it's not such a big jump to blessing. This goes for change, too. From problem to challenge to opportunity to blessing. It's like pressing that refresh button on your computer. It gets refreshed, you're renewed. Things work better. Now, personally, through sustained practice and study, and I mean sustained practice and study, I've discovered that the ones who I believed were my nemesis, were my enemy, were in fact my savior. They were not a problem. They presented challenge, opportunity, and oh my gosh, the wonder, the blessing of release, the blessing of prying my heart open. Wow, wow, where you thought it was closed, where you were sure it couldn't open. After all, you were right, they were wrong, it was great. No, no. The incredible, tearful blessing of changing your heart. Changing your heart. Applying love, compassion, and discovering blessing. It takes diminishment of ego, always a good thing. Always a good thing. When I'm in trouble, gotta look, where's ego giving me trouble? Ego, ego, a big problem for all of us. You know, life is challenging. And so sometimes we try and use ego to help us through. It's not our friend. It's disguised. It's disguised as a friend. It's a wolf in sheep's clothing. No, no. So that's another practice. I have a very good friend who often asks, what's with the ego when I'm not doing that well? And it helps me very much because we are all one. I am not righteous and above and right and full of judgment. No. So letting go of ego, knowing we are all one, knowing that there really is only one problem. There's only one problem. That's the belief that we're separate. The belief that we're just separate, and that's the way it is. And the good news is it's already solved, because that's an illusion. We're one. We're one. Krista Tippett, who did host this show with the Dalai Lama, wrote on defining happiness. She says, I found myself very much planted in the definition of happiness that the French-born Tibetan Buddhist scientist and monk Matthew Ricard offered on this program a few years ago. He defines happiness as genuine flourishing, not a pleasurable sensation or mood, but a way of being in the world that can encompass the fullness of human experience, joy and pleasure, as well as suffering and loss. As well as suffering and loss. I've experienced that in my life. I was quite surprised to find that when I was grieving my partner's death, there was still joy in my heart. There was a way of being that resided in my heart. I shed many tears. I cried. There's a song that says, and he cried like a panther in the middle of the night. I cried like a panther in the middle of the night. And I had joy in my heart. We can all have joy in our hearts. It's not about circumstance. That's the message of the Dalai Lama. In exile. In exile. He says, you see, happiness not come from sky, but we must make a happy life. May we prepare our hearts for happiness. May we choose our focus on love. May we find our savior and our blessing in those we thought of as enemies. May we be empowered. May we be happy. May we be well. May it be so. Blessed be. Amen. In closing, these words from E.E. Cummings, may my heart always be open to little birds who are the secrets of living. Whatever they sing is better than to know, and if men should not hear them, men are old. May my mind stroll about hungry and fearless and thirsty and supple, for even if it's Sunday, may I be wrong. For whenever men are right, they are not young. And may myself do nothing usefully and love yourself so more than truly. There's never been quite such a fool who could fail pulling all the sky over him with a smile. Blessed be. Let's join now in our closing circle.